It's become a tradition to end our final show for the year with an overview of some of the year's key events by one of the most experienced and best minds in our community, Auntie Patricia Turner. Auntie Pat's had a long and distinguished career in Indigenous affairs, and in 1990, she was awarded the Order of Australia for her service to the sector. Over decades, she's played a key role in the formulation and implementation of policies promoting self-determination for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander communities. Auntie Pat is currently the CEO of the National Aboriginal Community Controlled Health Organisation, or NACHO, and I'm pleased to say she joins me now for a look back at the year that was. Auntie Pat, welcome back to Speaking Out.
Well, thank you very much, Larissa.
Well, we began the year with a 10-year review of the Close the Gap strategy. What did you see as the highs and lows of the report?
Well, I'm mostly lows, really. When you look back at the moment, three of the targets out of the seven have expired. On track were targets to do with a reasonable proportion of year 12 graduates from high school. Infant mortality levelled out, which is a shame, you know, but three out of the seven targets having expired and nothing being said about them since. Overall, I think that it's largely been a failure. And I think it's been a failure because it did not involve Aboriginal leadership in the co-design of the whole framework.
What would you like to see going forward? And, of course, we should bear in mind that there is, of course, the discussion about resetting or refreshing the Close the Gap targets.
Well, that's right. And we're running a major campaign at the moment. So, breaking news, I've got a meeting with other peak representatives with the Prime Minister to put our proposal to him in person, which is good. So I'm very pleased to have that opportunity. But 14 peaks, really, 13 who signed the letter, Aboriginal community-controlled peak organisations, 13 who signed one letter, and the New South Wales Coalition of Aboriginal Organisations sent their own letter in the same vein to the Prime Minister and to the Premiers and Chief Ministers throughout Australia, saying we need to be involved in the co-design of the whole framework. You cannot agree the targets, which we haven't signed off on, and without us, and you can't implement Close the Gap refresh and make a difference, a positive difference, unlike the past 10 years, without us. Everyone sees the value in co-design. When they had the special gathering in February with COAG, the Aboriginal leaders, who were selected by the governments to attend, there was an undertaking, was a request by the Aboriginal leaders that it be done, the Close the Gap refresh be done in full partnership, a genuine partnership with Aboriginal organisations, and we be involved at every stage. Well, COAG agreed to that in February and hasn't done it. There's been a lot of consultations, a lot of talk, but there's been a lot of submissions that have been sent in. We have no visibility of those submissions. That 170, in fact, were sent to the refresh group. They haven't updated their website since August. I mean, it's just a hot mess. And unless we get involved, it will continue to fail, in our view.
Auntie Pat, obviously the request by our peak key organisations to be in a partnership with government on these key areas almost feels like a no-brainer. There's so much evidence that reinforces this. It's the experience of everyone around the table. Why is this concept of working with our peak community-controlled organisations so hard to get included in the way that governments are approaching Indigenous issues from your point of view? And you've been working in these sectors for a very long time. What's the barrier?
Well, I think the lack of backbone and, you know, guts, really, on the part of politicians. And they've just got to learn to be able to sit down at the table and negotiate properly with Aboriginal people. So I think it's their lack of political will. You know, we're such a small proportion of the population that they just like to ignore us as much as they can. And I think that's a real shame, you know, because we could teach them a lot and they can teach us a lot.
Another area where you've provided strong critique of government policy is around the Indigenous Advancement Strategy. Mm. And recently, Indigenous Affairs Minister Nigel Scullion came under intense scrutiny over a decision to fund land claim disputes in the Northern Territory using money from that fund. What was your reaction when you heard that?
I couldn't believe it, honestly. To fund white lawyers to fight against our land claims out of Aboriginal program money. But mind you, they do this sort of thing all the time. You just don't see it. It's not public, okay? So we have an Aboriginal health program in the Commonwealth Department of Health. And they always talk about the billions of dollars that they put into it, into Aboriginal health. But it doesn't come to us. It doesn't all come to us. We get, out of about 800 million, we get about 400 million. And, you know, the other money goes off to state governments and non-Indigenous providers and you name it, you know. It's just that people don't put it under the microscope and expose it. And it's quite hard to, you know, actually find that information. So we recently got told that all of the information about the funding to our sector is on a website, on the health website, go to Grant Connect. Well, it's like finding a needle in a haystack, love, you know? So there's no transparency, really, about the amount of funds going directly to Aboriginal community-controlled organisations in this country, and they fluff it all over with the money that they give to everybody else, which they shouldn't be.
Anipat, you make a really good point there, and especially thinking about the Indigenous Advancement Strategy money and the issues raised by the minister, which lacked transparency, as you said. Why is it that these sorts of issues, when they relate to the Indigenous Affairs portfolio, don't get the mainstream media attention that they would get if they related to non-Indigenous spending?
Well, it's not just the Indigenous Affairs portfolio. The money for our sector, the Aboriginal Community Controlled Health Sector, comes from the Commonwealth Department of Health. So I'm saying that all departments are guilty of it. Well, you know, like I said, you're not talking the huge figures. It is very complex arrangements to understand. Very few journalists would understand it and know where to go to get the information. And arousing their interest in doing investigative stories on these things is very difficult to do. So, and politicians, that suits politicians, you know, so they can just go about their merry way spreading grants around like confetti to whoever takes their fancy and last walked into their office and sold them a good story. So we've got a lot of white people who get very good access to Aboriginal health dollars in this country, and we're not happy about it at all.
Well, from policy to big picture, it's been over 18 months since the release of the Uluru Statement from the Heart. What are your thoughts on how its agenda has been progressed in 2018?
Well, let's go back to the beginning when the first expert panel was set up by Gillard, I believe. No government has ever responded in full to any of the reports about constitutional recognition. So let's get that straight. No government. Labor, Liberal, nothing. Then Aboriginal people met and came up with the Uluru Statement from the Heart. So another parliamentary committee was set up to examine it. It's not the first one. So what do they say now? The Labor Party announced the other day they were not going to go forward with constitutional recognition referendum, that they would do it in the context of Australia becoming a republic. Now, I don't know about you, Larissa, but I can walk and chew gum at the same time. So I can't see why the Labor Party can't do both. And to just sort of dismiss the voice and say we're going to do it in the context of Australia becoming a republic, we could be waiting another 20 years, you know, for a way of being involved more genuinely and influencing the Australian Parliament on issues that impact on our people's everyday lives.
Well, no doubt we'll be heading into an election in 2019. Mm-hmm. From your perspective, what would a political party have to put on the table to get your vote?
A political party would have to put on the table a commitment to properly fund needs-based funding for Aboriginal community-controlled health, make all of the other grant recipients, including the state governments who get funded by the Commonwealth for Aboriginal primary health care, much more accountable for what they do. So, you know, they can do 6 monthly reports to the Commonwealth on what they're spending their money on, and those reports should be made public. The money that went to the IAS from the first hockey Abbott government when they cut $500 million out of Aboriginal Affairs for social and emotional wellbeing and alcohol and other drugs should be transferred back to the health portfolio and quarantined for Aboriginal community-controlled health services to provide therapeutic health-led services. So I want to see much broader Aboriginal community-controlled organisations and whatever field we're in. So I'm talking about the health field, but I also support that in relation to structures for greater self-determination at the local and regional level and national level. I'm talking about it in relation to the promotion and retention of our Aboriginal languages and having the resources to do that, to enable our people to have access to country, to practice culture much more strongly, because, you know, there's a lot of barriers to getting back onto country. And the other services like education and I want real jobs. I want our people to get a fair dinkum pay. None of this working for the dole crap anymore. Our people, no matter where they live, should be employed and paid proper wages.
Well, I'd like to see you as Prime Minister, Pat. I'd also you'd be my vote for the President of the First Australian Republic too. But I guess my next question to you is, from your perspective, working at the coalface really on these hard policy issues, has having more Indigenous members of Parliament made a difference?
Well, look, I've become quite a bit concerned about this of late, and we've talked about it, you know, among ourselves as Aboriginal people. And I really think that the major parties, Liberal and Labor in particular, are using their Aboriginal members to say no to us. And I'm not happy about that. So I don't intend to hold back on those matters if I see that happening. And yeah, I'm going to call it. I don't care who they belong to. Whether, you know, we've got Minister Wyatt in the Liberal Party, and we've got, you know, Linda and Patrick and Mullandeary, et cetera, in the Labor Party. And, you know, so Bill Shorten uses Patrick Dodson as co-chair of this parliamentary committee to come up with this great idea about recognition when we become a republic. I mean, you know, get on with it, Labor Party, and get it happening straight away. There's nothing holding back on recognition in the Constitution, and there's nothing holding back on giving us a much more constructive voice to determine and to be, you know, put self-determination into practice, really, and the resources for us to do it.
On the broader Canberra landscape, of course, the federal politics this year has been dominated with the leadership issues within the Liberal Party.
Oh, yeah.
What did you make of the Turnbull leadership spill?
Well, I sent a text to my friend that morning and I said, poor bugger my country. That's what I made of it. I thought it was appalling that a small group of ultra-conservative right-wingers thought that they knew better than the people who elected them to roll a current Prime Minister who was actually travelling okay. He wasn't as strong as we all expected him to be because he was forever putting out bushfires lit by the right, not to mention our special envoy, Tony Abbott, who was a great master of that, and right behind the attempted coup. And, you know, the person I think, you know, I'm glad that Turnbull stepped away from Parliament straight away. So Wentworth by-election sent them a very clear message. And I hope Kieran Phelps remains the member there for some time, by the way. But other people around Australia, I think, have shown their dissatisfaction with the behaviour at the national level. It was a whitewash for Labor in Victoria, a landslide.
Of course, Scott Morrison now faces Parliament with a minority government. How effective do you think he'll be? Julia Gillard managed to make it work.
Well, it's going to be very interesting. So they're going to have to drop all their macho nonsense. And I think the real hero, after you look at the fallout in this, well, there's a couple of heroes, is Julia Banks, who's, you know, gone over to the independents, sitting as an independent, and Julie Bishop. Two women, fancy that. I think the Prime Minister's going to have a very tough time, a very tough time, and I won't be surprised if the government implodes before the May election.
Well, that's your prediction, and we'll see how it goes into 2019, and we'll be able to get you on to say I told you so if that does eventuate, Aunty Pat. Well, finally this evening, given all the work you've continued to throw yourself into on behalf of our community this year, will you be taking a well-deserved break over the festive season?
Only 10 days, Larissa. I'm saving my holidays for the middle of the Canberra winter when I can go north and do a bit of fishing in the sunshine.
And what's your Christmas looking like?
Oh, very quiet, at home, friends around, you know, the big luncheon and relaxing, yeah. And so it should be nice.
Do you take on the duties of doing the cooking?
I do, and I'm a very good cook, so, you know, I enjoy it actually, yeah.
Maybe we'll just pop in.
Yes, pop in. Pop in to Canberra.
Aunty Pat, thank you so much for joining us on Speaking Out this evening and taking time out of your very busy schedule to share your thoughts with us.
Oh, my pleasure. And can I extend my season's greetings to you and your staff who produced the show and to all the listeners. I hope everyone has a very safe and happy, healthy Christmas and New Year. Thank you, Larissa.
Thank you, Aunty Pat. Aunty Pat Turner, AO, is the Chief Executive Officer of the National Aboriginal Community Controlled Health Organisation, or NACHO, and a legend in the Indigenous community.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.